Everyone, I hope you're one Wagala. And hopefully they are here. Craig Donald.
Oh,
okay, I want to discuss a very important concept that the Ramban lays down in this week's parasha, but the Ramban is found in any number of times, and you see the sheet in front of you. I just more or less xeroxed a number of places where the Ramban articulates this dictum, which is called, I'll say it in different ways so you'll remember the expression, perhaps you are familiar with it, I'm sure you are. Ma'aseh avot siman lebanim. Or as I say it, ma'aseh avot siman lebanim. Now, ma'aseh avot siman lebanim literally means the footsteps or the actions of the avos, of the Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, blazed the contours of our future. Siman lebanim. Siman means that, in effect, that what they did, more or less, frame the contours of Jewish history, and we just flesh in the details. We just flesh in the minutiae, fill it in, that the parts that have to be filled in. Which means that we are, in effect, they're the creative ones, and they designed the course of history, and we more or less follow in their footsteps. And just to give you a few examples, just to show you right over here, let's start with, maybe we'll use this as an example, because at the top of the page, you see where it says, Parshat Lechlecha? Vayavar Avram Baaretz Ad Mekom Shechem. So the Ramban says, I'll read this Lashon Ramban, if you don't mind. Omar Lecha Klal, I'm going to tell you a principle. Tovin Oso Bechal HaParshas HaBos, Binyan Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. You'll be able to understand the footsteps of Avram Yitzchak Yaakov. Binyan Gadol, it's a very important item. Hiskiru Rabbi Seinu B'derech Tzor. Chazal, when they addressed this issue, they spoke about it briefly. The Amr, they said, Kol Masha'ira L'Avos Simu L'Banim. That's a slightly different expression than the one I used. But the Chazal, Rishonim actually used different expressions. It's based on Midrashim. But the Ramban used the expression, whatever happened to the Avos, all the stories that occurred to Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, all good for the future. Simu L'Banim. And the Ramban goes on. V'lachein, Yarichu Aksuvim B'Sipur HaMasos. The Torah describes the peregrinations, the travels of Avram Yitzchak Yaakov, they're traveling to and fro. Especially Avram Avinu, he traveled the length and breadth of Eretz Yisrael. Why is the Torah so prolix? Why is the Torah so lengthy regarding the travels of Avram Avinu? Or for that matter, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and further, the Ramban says, Vechafira Sabeiros. And if you recall, who was digging wells? Do you remember who dug wells? Yitzchak, digging wells. Why is the Torah describe that phenomena, digging wells? Why is it relevant? Ushar HaMikrim, V'yachsha HaChoshe Bahem. And the person who sees that, what does he think? Kilo hem dvarim miyutarim, hem hem tolet. What's the point? Why is the Torah describing these, what seem to be nondescript kind of things that have absolutely no relevance to us whatsoever? V'kulam boim l'lamin ala asim. But the Ramban says that correct. All of these items teach us about the future. And then the Ramban goes on, and this is another very significant statement in the Ramban. I'm not going to read it inside, but I'll mention it to you. You're aware that on Rosh Hashanah night we have what we call simonim. I assume everyone here probably does the simonim in one form or fashion. Some are longer, some are shorter. They even have now what they call, just like they have a seder of Tu B'Shvat, they have a seder of simonim Rosh Hashanah night. And many people do different types of simonim. It's mentioned in Shulchan Aruch very clearly. What's the makor for those simonim? The most famous one is which one? The apple and
honey.
And perhaps the fish. Maybe those two are the most famous, most likely. What is the point of it? Why are we doing it? What's the value of it? So the Chayodom quotes to the Ramban the next few lines I didn't read yet. Ramban now refers to events in Tanakh when the Nevi'im did some rather striking things. He gives a number of examples. I'll just tell you one of the examples that the Ramban cites here. Yirmiyahu HaNavi was told to go ahead and tie a ribbon to a rock near the Euphrates, the Tigris and the Euphrates. Why? And the Navi goes on to say that Hashem told him to tell Klal Yisrael that just as that ribbon is going to disintegrate after a period of time, obviously the ribbon is subjected to weather conditions and who knows what, atmospheric conditions and the like, and it's going to disintegrate, so too, Klal Yisrael, our situation is going to undergo disintegration. And eventually lead to the Churban HaMikdash. So that was a kind of simin that was being told to Klal Yisrael. So the Chayyadim says that that which you do on Rosh Hashanah night, namely, dip the apple in honey, what's the point of it? The point of it is that in fact we want to do something concrete, namely dipping the apple in the honey, and this will redound, hopefully, to our credit in the course of the year. We're going to have what kind of a year? A sweet year. And the Chayyam says, what's it based on? This Ramban. This Ramban has a similar idea. you do an action, and hopefully that action will have repercussions in the course of time, in the course of the year. Then in this situation, as I mentioned, the apple, the honey, a sweet year. And in the case of Tanakh, just one second, all these, I'll give you another example, which is probably the most heinous example, one could say, the most egregious example. The Nabi Hosea is told by Hashem to take as a wife a zona. A zona meaning someone from the red light district. If I could use such terminology. Now, would you say that a Nabi should be consorting with such an individual of ill repute?
No.
No, thank you. Baruch Hashem. That is astounding. Astounding. The Nabi is told to go consort with a zona. A Nabi! Is that not a pelotzen? So you know what the Rambam says about all these things? The Rambam says about all these things, including those I mentioned by the Ramban and Hosea. It was all but a dream. It's a chalom. The Rambam could not conceive of such a notion that a Navi is told to consort with a zona, with a prostitute, with someone of the red light district, with a harlot, whatever the terminology you use. But the Ramban and Rov HaRishon say no, pshut l'mashmah. What's the pshat? Have you ever learned Hosea? The Treyosar, so the Navi is told that basically, why is he doing what he's doing? Why is he told to do what he's doing? Because Klal Yisrael, again, are unfortunately we abandon Hashem, and as a result, either we are flirting with whom? With harlots, with zonos. There's a message that's being said. In other words, it's a kind of Maisa of a Sinu Levadim. Now, Rashi contends that this concept of Maisa of a Sinu Levadim is in Kol HaTanach, not just in Torah. Ramban speaks about it in Chumash, and I want to show you a few other places. Look at the next Ramban, directly below. Vayhi Rab Aretz, if you remember, Avraham Avinu left Eretz Yisrael. Do you recall that? There's a big machlokes of Rishonim. Did he act correctly? Did he not act correctly? Some Rishonim say, yes, he acted correctly. It's a sugya of Basra. But the Gemara discusses if there's a situation of an economic hardship in Eretz Yisrael. There's blight in this country. And there's a Rahman al-Litzan, where the socioeconomic conditions really go down to the point where one cannot survive. So you're allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. Generally, you shouldn't leave Eretz Yisrael. But here you're allowed to leave. But many Rishonim say, no, you're not allowed to leave Eretz Yisrael. You should have bitachon Hashem. Look at the Ramban over here. Vayi Rav Baretz. Hinei Avram Yaron the Mitzrayim Nei Harav. Lagur Sham. Lachiyot Nafshah B'mei HaBatzaret. It was a time of Batzaret, the time of famine. V'hamitzrim Oshku also. Chinam Lakachat Nidishto. Right away, what did they, the Egyptians, what did they decide to do? To abduct his wife. To kidnap her. V'akadosh Baruch Hu Nakad Nikmasim and Nigoyim Gadolim. What did Hashem do? Hashem behind the scenes, and not only behind the scenes, but Hashem decided to go ahead and leap into action. And as a result, Paro and his cohorts were stricken with all kinds of negoyim gedolim. V'otzio misham b'mikta b'kesu mazor. How did he come out of there? He came out of there laden with booty. He came out of there, his socioeconomic situation was enhanced considerably. V'gam tzivo la Paro anashim l'shalchom. Paro even sent him out with an escort, with a livui. Says the Ramban, you know what this is all about? V'romaz elov. What is this a remnant to? What's going to be lost in level? Namely, that Klal Yisrael is going to go down to Egypt. What's going to be? They're going to treat us, maltreat us, treat us terribly. And how do we come out of Mitzrayim? So the Ramban sees this event. And the Ramban just goes on his merry way. Literally, throughout Chumash, and he indicates this is, again, on the bottom of the page, by Ibn Rafael. This is the first world war that the Torah describes. Correct? Kings against kings. So the Ramban says, look at the bottom of the page here. Hamaseh azeh ira le'avram le'horos, ki arba melochim tamod le'limshol ba'olam, that there are going to be four major empires in the world. What are the four major empires that the Ramban refers to? Chazal, speaking about it. If you learned Daniel, Sefer Daniel, you probably learned it the other day, I assume. Sefer Daniel, there are four major empires. What are the four major empires in the world that more or less occupy the world's attention for centuries? Number one.
Greece.
Excellent. Number two.
Romans.
Babylonian. Number three. Roman Empire. Number four. What's the present situation? What's called Edo. What's Edo exactly?
Iran.
Let's say the Christian world. I like what Ali said. The Christian world, and whether it's Iran or others, who knows what. But anyway, these are four major empires. And what is going to be, said the Ramban, they're going to rise and fall. And it's amazing. And all this is represented by this world war that took place. And he writes further, Ubisov, just one second more, Ubisov is Gabu Banav Aleim. And guess what? At the end of the day, who's going to emerge out of all this? Klal Yisrael. Even though our situation is obviously one of constant zigzagging, ups and downs. But at the end of the day, four massive world empires will rise and fall. As you read, you probably didn't read this. I'm not sure you're into this kind of literature. The Rise and Fall of the Roman Empire by Gibbons. It's about 1,000 pages. You, Reuven, not have read that. The Chiyuv. Of course it's an obligation to read it. What? So, I always, I know that that's not your thing, reading. I don't mean just you, I mean all of you, right? Am I correct? Even though there are some good books out there. Noah, maybe you read it, Noah.
I have not, but I would like to.
Wow, you are something. So I'll tell you what, maybe I'll give you a week or so. And then we can discuss it. Because there, the author describes at least his analysis of why the Roman Empire essentially fell apart. And largely, he ascribes it, to what? To debauchery. How do you translate debauchery? A society that became essentially wallowing in materialism and sensuality and overindulgence and what have you. That's basically what he says. It's like a Musa sefer. That's why I like it. Yes?
How, Rishi recorded the Chai Adam?
Yes.
About the minhag for dipping the apple in the honey and always want him?
The Chai Adam quotes the Ramban. This Ramban right here.
Who quotes the Ramban? Did we base minhag him off the Ramban?
I don't see what the problem is.
Okay, I have a second question.
One second. You don't even let me answer the question. I say five words, and right away, you're on to the next. I don't see the Ramban, as you know. Anyone who's familiar with the Ramban, I assume some of you are. If you're not, you should become familiar with the Ramban, because I already spoke about this a few times, that it's good to take one or two Rambans a week on the Parsha and learn them. There's a sefer I think I should have brought here one day. Mordechai, did I not bring it? I should bring it again.
What?
I brought it one day, if you don't mind. I even brought it to Shir. But okay, Lom Shalem, and I suggest that you buy that sefer. More or less, he accentuates the very important Rambans in Ashkafa, Mashava, that one should actually study. So Ramban mentioned. Ramban actually has a lot of Yesodos in Ashkafa.
Yeah.
And often, Minhagim could be based on Yesod in Ashkafa. It's not a Chiddush, it's not a... I can give you other examples, but I don't want to do that right now. But I'm just saying one thing. I want to just comment on this. So basically, the Ramban here shows us that, and I have the next page as well. Maybe I'll discuss one thing on the next page, if you don't mind, because I'm going to raise a question over here in a moment. There's another famous Ramban. You see what it says? Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim, in the middle of the page. Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim. Everyone remember that parsha, beginning of Vayishlach? What happens? Yaakov is about to have an encounter with whom? With his brother, long lost brother Esau. So Yaakov sends messengers, Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim Lefanav, Eleisa Vachiv, and there's a whole back and forth, correct? And you remember that Yaakov prepares himself for three things, Chazal say, L'dorom, L'tfilah, or L'melchama. The language of Vayigash is used over there, actually, found three times in Tanakh, the Gemara, the Medrash, as well known by Eliyahu HaNavi, by Yaakov Avinu, and it's found the third time, Yigash Elav Yehuda. So Hagosha L'Pius, L'Tfilah, L'Mechama, Azesh Lein Chazal, that's the common denominator, you know, all three. Yeah, what do you want to say? Go ahead.
I understand that this idea exists. I don't necessarily understand why. What are the advantages, or why would it be?
Okay, I'll discuss that also, hopefully, in Yisrael Hashem in a few moments. I will hope to get to that, but I want to show you one more example, which is very classic here, at the beginning of, on the second page of Vayishlach. So look what the Ramban writes.
Where?
And it says, Seder Vayishlach Yaakov Malachim.
Second.
Turn the page
second
over.
Second paragraph.
Nichtava HaPasha Azos. I think I underlined it. Hold on a second. Nichtava HaPasha Azos. This Pasha was written Lodia. Ki Hitzel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Es Abdo. Ugaolo Miyarkozik Vimeno. Of course, that's a play out of Pasuk that you should be familiar with. Where's that Pasuk found? It's found in Shmon Esrei. Wow. Not in my Shmon Esrei, but okay. It's found right before Shmon Esrei. Excellent. That's what you meant. Excellent. That's what you meant. Just a slip of the tongue. Anyway, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yitzhak HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Zabdo, Golem Yarkozim, Menem Baruch HaTor Hashem, Gaal Yisrael, like we say it every night. Anyway, so the Ramban says that's what this parasha is written by Yishlach. He goes further. By Yishlach Malach Ve'atzeil Lelamei, or Lelamdeinu, Shulo Batach V'tzidkoso, Yaakov Avinu didn't sit back on his laurels. V'hishtadel Ba'atzola, Kol Yecholto. What he had to do? Hishtadlus. What Hishtadlus did Yaakov Avinu do, if you remember, over there? He sends presents. He divides the machane into two. Excellent. And he's also ready, if necessary, to go where? To go to war. Im Yavo Esav, El Amachan Eachas V'Yikov, V'Yam Amachan Anishol L'Fleitor, and then he prays to Hashem, correct? Yaakov Avinu prays to Hashem, if you recall. Dorom, Filo, Milchoma, is like Aleph Beis. Anyway, it's like Ragalach. Anyway, so the Yaakov prepares for fundamental things, and then he goes further. V'yesh Ba'od, Remez Adora, says the Rabban, there's another Remez. Ki kol ha-she'ira l'avinu im Esav Achim, whatever happened between Yaakov and Esav, Yera lonu tamid in b'nei Esav. Guess what? That's going to be a lot in life. We're going to be constantly involved in skirmishes with non-Jews, with empires, with countries, with major leaders. So what should we do, said the Rabban? How should we prepare ourselves? We should use three strategies. Strategy number one is to bribe. And trust me, Klal Yisrael, throughout our history, we're great at that. Outstanding. If you study Jewish history, I happened to meet the other night at Rabbi Elsham's wedding, the wedding of Simcha, I met Rabbi Vera Wein, whom I love immensely. Love is the correct word. Avas Nefesh. One of the last of the normal Rabbanim in the world. I'm number two. But anyway, he's number one, and I'm number two. What do I mean by normal Rabbanim? Rabbanim who are integrated into the world at large, who understand dynamics of what's going on in society, who can relate to command everything. I'm talking about, they understand the state of Israel, all of its problematica. They understand what it means to be a Torah Jew, a religious Jew, anchored in Torah, and the like. And they are able also to appreciate the value of secular education, having a parnasa, making a living, things like that. I like this red-headed lead fella. We took a liking to each other a long time ago because of my Rabbi Gershom.
Yeah.
Gershom Fern. He's a good guy.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you see what I'm saying here? That there are three strategies that one has to be aware of. Doron, Tfilah, Milchama. Maybe you'll read some of Rabbi Vera Wein's works. Do you mind my saying this? You know, he has these coffee table history books. He has movies also. I heard. I asked him about that the other night. He said, Rosh Hashiva, he told me, no one reads even my books that are written in simple English. He told this to me, Rabbi Wein. Oy, he's a man, Bli, I know it must be in his high 80s or close to 90. Hashem should give him Arich HaSiyam Admeh V'Shmon
Shana.
Anyway, so this Rabbi Wein is such an astounding person. And he's a historian as well. You ever read his coffee book? Table, history, coffee, pictures, nice pictures there, like the art scroll genre. We have to say Tillam here all day. Anyway, but he gave us something. Hashem should bless all of you.
Amen.
Halavai, all of us should become like Rabbi Wein.
Amen.
There's also the massive Talmud Chacham. I told him that not only did I read all of his history books, but I also read, he wrote two volumes, Chidush HaTorah and Shas. So I decided to go through that too, you know, in my spare time. Anyway, so he's an astounding person. A man, massive Talmud Chacham, but such a... So anchored reality. That's what I like. I love those people. So I know him many, many years. Okay, the Kitz of Nimrods. So what did Yaakov do? Prepare himself to Tzul, Adonim Melchama. The Ramban goes on to say here, and he says it actually a little bit later. I'm not going to read every Ramban for you, but those who want to see it, I can just show it to you. Look at the Ramban towards the bottom. Lama Em Sochei Neini Adoni. Ramban says something astounding over here. There's a Kabbalah in Chazal that this Parsha of Vayishlach is the Parsha of Golos. So whenever Jews are about to go into Golos, so and we have to go and interact with the different empires of the world, we should study this Parsha. So I want to tell you a Maisa Shoya, which you're probably aware. Are you aware of the fact that in the state of Israel, there's a peace treaty that was made between who and whom? Two different countries, Israel and which other country?
Egypt.
That peace treaty was, if you recall, I don't know if you remember the personalities, I don't think you were born yet, but who was the prime minister at that time? Menachem Begin. Menachem Begin was at Brisk. Menachem Begin actually is from Brisk. Soloveitchik had a connection with him. And he made the peace treaty with whom?
Nasser.
With?
Nasser.
No, not with Nasser. You better. I suggest here we study a little bit of Israeli history. I don't think it's so complicated and so difficult with who? With Sadat. Amr Sadat. So before that meeting took place. Before that meeting took place, so Menachem Begin came to the United States to meet with several Gedolei Yisrael. He met with three Gedolei Yisrael in the apartment in Manhattan where Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal lived. Who was there? Rav Moshe Feinstein, Rav Lach Kamenetzi, Rav Yitzhak Hutner, three notable chaps, would you say so? Chaps is not the right word. Like the three of the biggest Gedolei Yisrael that we had in the last 100 years. He met with them. And then he met separately with the Gaon from Boston, Moreno Rabbeinu, Rav Yossi Dov, Alevi Soloveitchik Zatzal. What is amazing, both meetings, they told the Menachem Begin the same exact Ramban. They all cited this Ramban over here. He should study this Parsha Vayishlach before he meets Sadat, because this is obviously a rather significant milestone kind of meeting, which it was, and it led to a quote-unquote, what they call a cold peace with Egypt, which, by the way, is not a bad thing for the last several decades. No small matter. And he told him to study this Parsha. And Menachem Begin was also informed that, guess what? The author of this idea is the Ramban. And it's in Chazal, such an idea. So this is all part of what? Maisa of a Simul Banim. So I want to now just flesh out a little bit more this idea of Maisa of a Simul Banim, if you don't mind. There, it's a really, as I said, the Ramban, in his comments over here, he links the exile in Egypt with the actions of Movino. If you remember, for example, also, the Ramban actually connected the actions of Avraham and Sarah with the fact that the Torah says that Bataneh Sarai, Sarah flicks Hagar, and the Ramban has a very, very striking comment where he points out that our mother Sarah did not act appropriately when she was Ma'aneh Hagar, when she afflicted Hagar, the Ramban says. And Avraham Avinu, even permitting her to do so, was not in order. So Hashem heard the afflictions of Hagar and gave her a son who the Torah describes as a Pere Adam. You know what the term Pere Adam means?
Wild.
Wow, excellent. But if you know a bit of Diktuk, which you probably seem to know, Baruch Hashem, that's great. So how should the Torah have called him? Not Pere Adam, but rather Adam Pere. You know what I'm saying? Adam Pere means a wild man. But the Torah calls him wild, not that, but calls him Pere Adam. So the many say, you know what that means? If he'd be called an Adam Pere, basically he's an Adam who's wild. But no, he was not even an Adam. This is what the many say on that diuk in that pasuk. Whatever the case is, says the Ramban, because she afflicted Hagar, guess what? Hagar's descendants are going to afflict whom? Klal Yisrael. You know who her descendants are. I believe even out of Yom HaZeh we are
cousins.
Our good cousins are afflicting us or attempting to afflict us and somehow can't deal with us. And that was basically the Ramban connection of the actions of Avraham and Sarah with the maltreatment of generations of Jews at the hands of the descendants of Ishmael. Isn't that amazing? Based on this principle called Maisa Avos, Simul Banim. So now I want to just mention to you a famous Kasha in the Ran. The Ran, yes, the Kasha. Everyone heard of the Ran? One of the great Rishonim. Where's the Ran found?
Back in the Gemara.
In the back of the Gemara. Excellent. Wow, we are making progress. We are Baruch Hashem and Achim Bitkabim. Poba Yeshiva Azot. Zim Mitzuyad. So the Ran, who also has not just wrote Chidushim HaChas, which I found in the back of the Rif, and also found in a separate statement called Chidush HaRan, the Ran also wrote Drasha, wrote also Perish HaTorah. You know, Mirshonim wrote a lot. They wrote extensively. It's amazing what they wrote. So the Ran actually asked the following question on the Ramban. The Ramban said earlier with the Rav that there was a famine. So Avraham Avinu goes down to Mitzrayim, and then Paro maltreats him, and then finally he emerges there, Beruchush Gadol. That's the way it's going to be later on with Klal Yisrael, many generations later. So the Ran asked the following question on the Ramban's comment. Later on, if you remember, when else does the Torah have a famine? During some other period of time, a bit later, in the few more Pashas from now, during the days of whom? Of which of the Avos? Yitzhak. Also, the Torah speaks about a famine. Where is it? Perek Chavav? I don't recall.
There's also one by Yaakov. No.
Yes, the days of Yosef. But the one I'm referring to is the one in Perek. Here is Chavav. Baruch Hashem is still there. Anyway, so here in Perek Chavav, the Torah speaks about Yitzchak. There's a famine. He also wanted to go where? Wanted to go down to Egypt to escape the famine. And what does Hashem tell him?
No.
No, you can't leave Eretz Yisrael. Gur v'Eretz Hazos ve'yem Chavav Rachecha. Why? Because he has he's a korban, the Akeda. There's a famous kasha of the Ran. Unbelievable kasha the Ran is. The Ran is, if Avraham Avinu, if his descent to Egypt was a aveira, was a transgression. So why would Yitzhak want to follow such a course? If Yitzhak knew from Avram that that's an aveira going down to Egypt, why would he want to go down to Egypt? So you have to assume Yitzhak was not aware that this is an aveira, and therefore chose to do so as a rational choice because there's a famine. So if that's the case, if Yitzhak didn't know, had the Ramban know? You hear the kasha of the Ramban? I love that kasha. You hear the question?
Only makes sense.
That's right. Makes a lot of sense to kasha. And not only that, if jeopardizing his wife's situation also constituted an aveira, so why did Yitzhak simulate that kind of behavior? Why do you want to continue this kind of behavior? So, the answer to this question, yeah, the answer to this question clearly lies in an understanding of this principle of Maisa of a similar button. That's really what we have to understand. And as I said, everything that the Avos did have repercussions for the rest of history. And if you read Ramban's, and it's because I learned Ramban al Torah, for example, after Sarkim Avram Avinu, the beginning of Parshas Vayera, Yukach no bad bayim. Ramban here refers to it, that refers to the well that sustained Klal Yisrael in the desert. When Avram Avinu is busy in Achnas Sarkim, so Hashem also with the man in the midbar, Achnas Sarkim, and on and on and on. But the footprints of the Avos and Imos are obviously indelibly etched into our historical psyche. And that's why the Ramban apparently is saying the Klal, a very important Klal. Even though that Chazal and the Ramban take Avram Avinu to task for leaving Eretz Yisrael, once one of the Avos acts as they do, guess what? Even if they not have been the most appropriate approach that the Av utilized, it becomes etched in history because of Maisa Avos Sim of the bottom. The best example is Yaakov Avinu. Did Yaakov have to start up with Esav? What did Chazal say? It's a Medrash, the beginning of the Parsha of Yishalach. I'm sure you're familiar with it. Machzik Boz Nekelev Aviv Lo Lo. Chazal compared it to a dog that's walking along and not bothering anybody, minding his own business, and you're minding your business, and you decided to, guess what? Pull the ear of the dog, and then the dog yelps. Y-E-L-P-S. That means the dog is going to react. And not in a very friendly-like fashion. Who asked you to pull the ear of the dog? No, that's lo nachon. Hashem didn't tell Yaakov to do anything. Yaakov on his own. By Yishach Yaakov Alochim. Esav is dormant. After so many years, a hiatus of so many years, Esav doesn't. He's not. He and Yaakov are each one doing their own thing. You go your way. I go my way. Everything's fine and dandy. And now suddenly, by Yishach Yaakov Alochim Afanah. Who asked him? Who asked him to send Alochim Afanah to Esav Alochim? Chazal, take him to test. Machzik Bozne Kelev Al Rib Lo Lo. Pasuk Mishlei. We started with the dog. Esav being the dog. So the answer is, and this is the Yisod of the Ramban, that even though Yaakov could have and should have chosen an alternate modus operandi, another approach, however, once he opts for this particular approach, it becomes Maisa Avos, similar button. You know what I'm saying? So the query of the Ram, query, Q-U-E-R-Y, the question of the Ram is not resolved. Even though Avraham Avinu and Yaakov should have employed a different tack, once they decide to pursue this tack, this particular approach, myself, a similar bottom means that we follow the identical course that they followed. Why is that so? It's so because the Avos are, how shall we describe them? Saintly in their character. They're great, great tzaddikim. Now, by the way, it doesn't mean they are malochim. No, they're human beings. They're human beings who developed incredible heights by dint of working on their personalities. And the Ramban indicates this. He quotes the Gemara in Yevamos, the Gemara in Yevamos,
yeah, Gabe, you
want to say something?
Yes, sir. As
Rashi
just said, that
like,
in our Gedolim, you know, specifies a lot of their faith. And isn't it for us to learn from? It's not because...
Unquestionably, that's my point. My point is that they're human beings. Right. So they can err. However, they are obviously human beings who reach incredible heights. Anyone who was zoche to see Gedolim Yisrael, as I was in my lifetime, it is astounding to observe Gedolei Yisrael. In general, it's yadua that the closer you get to, quote-unquote, shall we say, great figures in the secular world, I'm talking about musical geniuses, hip-hop types, or even not hip-hop types. So let's say, I don't know whom people admire over here. I heard that people admire all types of, I don't know what to call these people.
Famous.
Let's be polite. Whether in the music world and the sports world, especially in the sports world, that people idolize some of these sports figures, who to a large extent, unfortunately, when you get close to them, you realize that they are, how shall I describe them? Low lives, b'lashon nikiya. Low lives. When you get close to Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, that's how you are astounded by him. When you get close to Rav Soloveitchik, that's how you're astounded by him. When you get close to some of Rabbi Wablowski's favorite Gedolim, and there's a long list. Rabbi Shteinman Zatzal, whom he loves, and all Klal Yisrael loves. You see the tzidkus, the righteousness, the saintliness of these people. I'm talking about in Pratim and Pirtei Pratim, how they led their lives. And that's why the Avos, and as this Gabe is alluding to, even Gedol Yisrael, who are not Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, but the Gemara says, Chai Vanum Lomar, Masai Agiu, Masai Namasai, Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. We have to ascribe to be like those people. Yes?
If we recognize that they took a less desirable path, why would we try to mimic that?
No, but the path that they take, at the end of the day, again, the Torah does not deify Atzadikim. That's what was just pointed out here. But who said that? The Torah doesn't deify them. You mentioned it. That, namely, that the Torah presents them as human beings who struggle very, very valiantly to achieve profound virtues. The Torah describes them honestly. Because if we view them as demigods, as transcendent, as people who are Malachi Ashoris, then they're beyond our intellectual and emotional purview. We won't be able to come near them. But that's not how we view them. We view them as great human beings who achieved, by virtue of what? Of indefatigable self-discipline. By Amal Shel Torah, by working hard, by nurturing midos, by cultivating their personalities, by being exposed to other great individuals whom they model themselves after. So we're not going to gain parity with the others and the most, but certainly we can come, shall we say, near them, or we can ascribe to come near them. That's all I'm saying. That's my whole point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is myself, listening to Labanim, a din in that Hashem puts them in a situation, we're going to put us in similar situations so they put them, or is it that it's like human nature acts the same way?
No, I think it's the former, not the latter. That unquestionably, Hashem, listen, there's a famous comment of Rav Kook Zatzal. Rav Kook actually said, Elokai Yashol Zarti and Yichidai. Sometimes people will, you'll hear people say, oh, had I been born in a door 100 years ago, wow, I could have been like one of those Gedolei Yisrael. But because I was born in this era, that's why I am what I am. That is a statement which is really not well-founded or well-grounded. Rav Kook says everyone is born in the particular context, the particular milieu that they belong, and Hashem knows exactly what he's doing, and people belong to a particular family, and everyone, of course, has challenges, and undoubtedly they have to rise to the occasion and do what they possibly can, as best they can. Everyone, it's the former, not the latter statement that you made. I just want to add something to this, myself, a similar bunny. I saw that this is a well-known comment of Rav Dessler Zatzal. This is found in Mitzvah Leo, Chelek Aleph, page 8 to 14. For those who learn Mitzvah Leo. When I was in the yeshiva in Itri many years ago, the only chalokim are Mitzvah Leo. So those chalokim are the ones that I know. I once went out with a young woman, I didn't marry her, but I once went out with a young woman who knew the entire Mitzvah Leo by heart. And so because of her, I had to study Mitzvah Leo. Between the first day and the second day, I basically went through two volumes of Mitzvah Leo. Just to compete with her. She also knew Tanakh. She's actually a professor of theoretical physics. But she wasn't my cup of tea. Whatever the case is, so she was very familiar with Mitzvah Leo. So he writes in Mitzvah Leo, Rav Dessler, the following. He says over here that the concept we constantly speak about, we speak about schus avos. You ever heard that term?
Yeah.
The Gemara Spin Shabbos speaks about schus avos and bris avos. The Gemara says, so what is schus avos? So he says, schus avos really should be read zakut avot. What does that mean? Zakut avot means the purity of the Avos HaKadoshim, namely, Avraham Avinu is a practitioner of Chesed par excellence. Yitzchak, Akeda, is ready to be Mercy Nefesh. Yaakov Avinu, Avas HaTorah. These are the qualities that they embedded in their descendants. It means we were Zot HaBiyerusha to these qualities. Why? Because of the Avos. So when it says Maise Avos, Simu Labonim, he interprets that to mean Zakut Avot. We have to follow the Daki Abosenu. We have to nurture Midos Tovos that we will Makabo Yerusha. And then that schus will obviously be down to our credit. I mean, the person, again, this idea like a God who come before a Shefe, a God who come before a judge, and the judge asks him, no, what do you have to say in your defense? Obviously, he's on trial for whatever. What do you have to say in your defense? I mean, he's engaged in thievery and kleptomaniac and who knows what, all kinds of things. And what if you have to say, you know, the fancy, the Shofet says to him, and the guy says, my father was a Adam Yosha. My father was an honest person. My father was a Glata person. It was very straight. So the Shofet says, if that's the case, I should be more machmir on you than I give you, I should throw the book at you. If your father was Yosha. Maybe if your father was a guy, okay, I understand that you never saw any other lifestyle. Your father's mafioso, you're mafioso. At Sof Yomecho, mafioso. Even though, you know, mafioso people, when it comes to, shall we say, their own children, everything is fine. Just regarding everybody else. We have to go and do all kinds of scholarly. That's the way they operate. But anyway, the point being that if your father's an Adam Yosha and you're mechanech, your chinuch is an Adam Yosha, then why you become a ganav? There's a zakut avot, becomes then chas v'shalom can work against us. So we have to be cognizant of that. I just want to mention that Rav Chaim Volozhiner, I saw in the Sefer Ruach Chaim, I have, I like that Sefer a lot, a Sefer on Pirkei Avos. I actually taught it. I taught both Nefesh HaChaim and Ruach Chaim on Pirkei Avos many, many years ago. So he writes over here in Ruach Chaim something which is astounding. And this is so really, he says it. Myself, a similar bonim, Shein HaKabbalah Kvi Shechoshim Shezer Rak Simen Ba'alma. Doesn't only mean a simen, but rather, so that dover, Sheha'avos Heim Chorshu Avdu Tiknu Hishlimu Atzol Kaladoos. They basically set down Jewish history. And all the qualities that we possess, whether it's Siris Nefesh, whether it's we're ready to die on Kiddush Hashem, which a Jew has to be ready to do, if necessary. And of course, better to live on Kiddush Hashem than to die on Kiddush Hashem. But all those qualities, essentially, are inherited from whom? From Avos Seinu HaKadoshim. That's what it means, Maisa Avos, similar body. And I maintain the same applies even to Gdol Yisrael. Gdol Yisrael of our own generation. We have Gdol Yisrael in every generation. Myself, a Simon the Bonham. We have to try our best to use them as models. I try to model my life after the Gdol Yisrael that I was offered to see in my lifetime. And you should try to model yourselves after Rabbonim, Tamnei Chachamim. We have in this yeshiva, as I said a few times, outstanding Rabbi. Ma'atam, ma'am? Are you masking?
Yeah, it's true.
They're really wonderful. They're outstanding. And you should try to model yourselves after them. Yes, go ahead.
You could even say that this plays such a big role in Judaism because we're such a key component in Judaism is the Masorah. So that's how we keep the Masorah alive. We have to follow the
outstanding. Elbows. Outstanding what we just heard. Masorah is the key to everything. No question about it. My brother in Chadera, I have a brother in Chadera who was a rabbi in a hospital for many, many years in Chadera. A rabbi in a hospital, a very large hospital. It's almost the size of Hadassah. It's up north of them. You've probably never heard of Chadera. It's like a city, massive city. Oh, there's a lot of cities. Anyway, so his father-in-law, his name was Ashono Burstein, the Chassad de Bracha. He was actually a Mira. He learned in the Mira Yeshiva in Shanghai. Actually, he wrote a whole book about him, a whole biography about Shlomo Burstein. Anyway, so he lived after the Mir Yeshiva. He was the chief rabbi of Uruguay, South America. He went there for a spell. Matter of fact, my sister-in-law, my brother's wife, she speaks three languages fluently, and none of the three are English. She speaks Spanish fluently from Uruguay. She grew up in Uruguay. And she speaks Yiddish fluently, because they spoke Yiddish at her house. And of course, she's an Israeli. She speaks Hebrew fluently. I remember my mother, Alea Shalom, had a lot of difficulty communicating with her. Except luckily, my mother spoke Yiddish fluently. And she also spoke Yiddish fluently. So Baruch Hashem, there was communication. However, between my mother and her grandchildren, namely my nephews, it was sign language writ large. They don't speak a word of Yiddish, not a word of English. And it was unbelievable. Anyway, so these are some of Bushti, who was a chief rabbi of Uruguay in South America after the war. So he, as I said, he came to the Mir Yeshiva from Shanghai, and he told over the following. It's actually found in his biography, which is in Hebrew, and but I heard it from him myself. And I think he, many years ago, he wanted me to become a Rebbe in Chadera. And Baruch Hashem, it didn't happen. So he was Rosh Yeshiva in Chadera. Yeah, had a yeshiva high school there, Tichon. Tichon high school? Tichonistim. You also went to high school? Anyway, the kids are, so he had a high school there, and he offered me a job. Anyway, so he told over that apparently there was a, before they were about to go to Shanghai, Shanghai was under whose control? Do you remember? Anyone ever heard of the Mir Shiva? Ever heard of Shanghai? Go ahead, stop. A little bit, you must have heard. What? Sorry? Yeah, Rabbi Yochanan Lubavitch was the Mashkiach of the Mir Yeshiva, a very, very famous Mashkiach. He was very close to Rabbi Yochanan. It's Rashlomo Burstein. He actually came from a town called Tiktin in Europe. They call him Rashlomo Tiktin. It's the golden of the town he came from.
What?
You went to Tiktin?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow. That's something. With Rabbi
Elshin.
Wow, okay. I have to ask Rabbi Elshin about it. Anyway, about Tiktin, that is. So there was apparently the Japanese who controlled Shanghai. So they really wanted to get rid of all the yeshiva guys. They had no interest in building yeshiva in Shanghai for yeshiva Bachim. The yeshiva, you probably know, flourished in Shanghai. The yeshiva actually emerged in Shanghai, and as a result of what happened in Shanghai, that they then spread Torah all over the world. They came to Eretz Yisrael, they came to Europe, they came to the United States. The greatest of the mirrors, you know, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest one of all? Anyway, so the mirrors, pretty bad joke. So the mirrors, they call them, those who lived in Mir Yeshiva, so they literally spread Torah everywhere. So the Japanese had this plan to literally, they were going to put all the mirrors on a ship, and essentially, the ship was going to capsize, accidentally. And they all would drown. And one non-Jewish Japanese fellow spilled the beans, and the yeshiva was saved by this Japanese fellow. Rabbi Shlomo, one of the Hasidim of Masayla.
What's his name?
I forgot, I can't pronounce his name, but he was honored a number of times over here by Yad Vashem and all kinds of things. And when the yeshiva heard about this, they were absolutely beside themselves. First of all, they couldn't understand it. This is a guy, a non-Jew. And why exactly would he do this? Why would he reveal, why would he spill the beans in order to save a bunch of yeshiva bachim? There were several hundred of them. That is true. And also some families as well that were involved. Why would he do something like that? They were beside themselves. And they couldn't understand it. That and then he was punished by the Japanese government. Basically what they did was they tortured him to death. They killed him. Because he, essentially, what did he do?
Spilled the beans.
He spilled the beans. He spoiled their plans. Amazing story. He tells all of his story in Sefer. And also, I heard it from him a number of times, Ashlomo Burstein. So they decided, they couldn't understand what's going on. They're going to ask the Mashiach, not Rabbi Roblowski. They're going to ask Abchatzka Levinstein. He's the Mashiach of Chodem Shishim. Let me just finish. Everything's all right? They're going to ask Abchatzka Levinstein. I actually was there to hear Abchatzka Levinstein a number of times in Ponovich. In the shmuzah that he gave, but once I went to him for a bracha in 1971, so he asked me in Yiddish, "Do I learn basmada? You know what basmada means? The way you learn." So what can I answer? What does pashut mean?
Are you sleeping?
Basmada means I learn 12, 13, 14 hours a day. I couldn't say that. So he then said to me, "You don't learn basmada, you want a bracha?" I ran for my life. He had piercing eyes. They can go right through you. I got to get out of this. This is too spooky for me. Anyway, just to make a long story short, so they went to the Mashkiach, Abchatzka Levinstein, to ask him, "What's the pshat?" So they wanted to ask him, "How do you explain this? This guy who saved the Mir Yeshiva, and then he's tortured to death by the Japanese government." So anyway, this is written up in his sefer, which I have in front of me. I xeroxed it from there. So they came to the Mashgiach. Before they knocked on the door, they heard the Mashgiach crying. And the Mashgiach is saying the following. He's praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with tears, Ribbono Shel Olam. He's saying, the Mashgiach, "This guy is, at the end of the day, is a guy. And one time, he helped the yeshiva. And now you gave him such a matana that he could die al kiddush Hashem? And I, Chatzkel Levinstein, Chatzkel, who has been in Ovid Hashem decades, I so much want this matana, and I'm not zeichet to that schus," and they ran for their lives when they heard him say this. Isn't it amazing? The Mashkiach was ready to die al kiddush Hashem. Myself, a Simon Levonim, Yitzhak Avinu, was ready to go on the Akedah. So we don't want anyone here to die, Al Kiddush Hashem. We want you all to live al kiddush Hashem, to be mekadesh Shem Shamayim through limud haTorah, through your exemplary behavior by becoming outstanding talmidei chachamim. And I want to tell you something. Ma'isa Ava Sima LeBanim. This yeshiva was around 19 years. And guess what? The avos that preceded you, some of them are outstanding b'nei Torah. Out today, where recently I heard a ma'isa of a young man from my yeshiva who became engaged to a daughter of a Rosh Yeshiva. I push it. Have not stopped flipping out. A bigger mess than Kriya Siamzu. So you see what's going to happen to you? Halavai should happen to all of you. Yes, no, what do you want to say? I'm sorry?
Right after the
first year. That was also a bigger mess than Kriya Siamzu. Machamess! Oh, excellent.
I didn't turn it off yet, but I